Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Vaccinations and Your Rights in the U.S., a show co-hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brook and attorney at law Alan Phillips. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts and questions. Let's go!
Speaking with our co-host, Alan Phillips, attorney at law. Today is November 24th, 2010, and you're listening to show number 6 of Vaccinations and Your Rights in the United States. Thank you for joining us. Alan, you're on the line with me now, right?
I'm here, Debbie. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm getting ready for a family Thanksgiving, and that's why we're doing this a little bit early tonight. It's a pre-recorded session, and I'm just going to post it up there for people to listen at the regular time. But I think we were talking last time about the legal system, and of course we know that it is complex, and each person has to be answered in their own individual way with the kinds of needs that they have, whether they are a mom, a dad, a soldier, a veteran, a physician, a nurse, medical aides, immigrants, all sorts of different types of people have their particular issues to deal with regarding immunization, vaccination, and their rights in the United States. Go ahead.
That's right, Debbie. The rights not only vary depending on what context the question comes up in, but even the same context will vary. The rights can vary from person to person or situation to situation depending on the individual facts. So therein lies some of the inherent complexity with legal issues generally, but in particular with vaccine exemptions and waivers.
Okay. And we also mentioned kind of the reason why we're doing this. The reason we are talking to each other and speaking up and having this radio show is to create awareness. The same thing as Homeopathy World Community is about creating awareness about the benefits and the positive things that homeopathy can do to help heal people. And talking about vaccination means that we want to educate the persons who are getting vaccinated and let them have enough facts and figures in to make a choice, to make an educated, knowledgeable choice about what they want to do regarding immunization in their life, whether they want to select one type of immunization or another, whether they feel one type is safe, more safe than another type, or whether they want to have an open dialogue and conversation with their physician, whether they want to take a look at the little pamphlet that comes in the vial of a vaccine, whether they are realizing the types of newer vaccines that are coming out on the market and how they get from the manufacturer to the marketplace. There's a lot of information that people do not know, and they just take it for granted that the government is looking out for them or their physician is looking out for them. So we were thinking that we could even develop a motto or a jingle that this is awareness plus legislative involvement. What can the person on the street do to protect them? Is that correct?
Well, in one sense, the entire vaccine issue kind of falls into two general components. And the first one is absolutely a prerequisite, and that is awareness of the issues. And once you have some awareness that there are concerns with vaccines, then the logical next step is, well, what can you do about that? And my work with vaccines similarly falls in two arenas. The first is helping people understand and exercise their rights. But people find out when they start learning about their rights, they find out pretty quickly that there are some pretty rigid limitations and restrictions on our rights to refuse vaccines or to choose whether or not to do vaccines or how to do vaccines. Some people may want to space them out or delay them or do only some vaccines and not all the ones that are mandated. Other people want to avoid vaccines altogether. Having awareness about the problems, while it's a prerequisite, it's a necessary first step, that in and of itself won't change anything. And so the question is, when we bump up against boundaries of our rights and we're not satisfied with where those boundaries are, what can we do to change those boundaries? And where the rubber meets the road in this arena, first and foremost, is in the law. Usually that deals with statutes or statutes and regulations that tell us what our requirements are and what our exemption and waiver options are. And if we don't like the limitations or boundaries as they're currently set, then we need to take steps to change them. And that's essentially a legislative initiative or a step that needs to be addressed first and foremost in the legislative arena.
Okay, so you've led right into the question, which I had last week. I wanted to make sure that people understood exactly as clearly as possible what are the differences between statutes and regulations and define what they are, so unless they're interchangeable. I don't know if those two words are interchangeable.
Well, there's a distinct difference. There is some overlap in what they provide for us in this particular issue of vaccine exemptions and waivers. But statutes are enacted by legislators, and that is true both at the state level and the federal level. And regulations, the actual technical word is that they are promulgated, but basically it's the equivalent of enacted. But they are promulgated by agencies, and that can be federal and state agencies both. And what usually happens in the vaccine arena, let's take one of the dozen or so different contexts as an example, school vaccine exemptions. Every state decides by way of state law what vaccines are required for its state residents, and every state decides what exemption options are available and what the procedure is and so forth. The starting place for exemptions and waivers, school exemptions and waivers, is going to be a state statute. But oftentimes, in many if not most states, to really get the full right and procedure for the exercise of a vaccine exemption or waiver, you need to look at not only the state statutes, which are enacted by the state legislatures, but also at health department regulations. Oftentimes, health departments, which will, for our purposes in this example, are state agencies, and agencies can be created in different ways, but the most common way that occurs is by a legislative act. So there will be legislation enacted that creates various state agencies, and certain rights and responsibilities are delegated by the state legislature to the state agencies. So every state has, perhaps by a different name, but one version or another of a Department of Health and Human Services. Often regulations concerning vaccine requirements, vaccine exemptions, and other aspects of vaccines, often the details are delegated to the Department of Health and Human Services by the state legislature. So the state statute may, to one degree or another, say there's an exemption right or exemption rights, but they will often delegate some of the details or procedural components to that, how do you actually exercise the exemption, to, say, a health department, which will then promulgate regulations that add further detail. The state agencies cannot create laws or requirements that go outside of the boundaries that are set up by state statutes, but they often provide more of the details. Mm-hmm. So, for example, many states have a form where you essentially check a box or sign a form or something fairly simple and mechanical for the exercise of an exemption. It'll be the state health department that creates that form. Mm-hmm. And I'm often advising people not to go to the internet to anti-vaccine websites to use their sample forms or sample letters or sample affidavits, simply because if your state requires a form, your state will create and produce that form, and usually that'll be created, designed and created and made available through health departments as a state agency, as opposed to by the state legislature. But there's no clear boundary. I see different parts of the total law in terms of the right and the procedure for exercising the right. Some states have that wholly within statutes. North Carolina, for example, the entire vaccine religious exemption law is contained in two sentences in a statute. Other states will have a whole section dealing with exemption.
Can you give a little bit further example? North Carolina has their whole statutes in two sentences?
The whole religious exemption right and procedure is contained in two sentences
uh-huh.
in one statute, in one
uh-huh.
statutory section.
Uh-huh.
In other states, you'll have more wordy. It just varies from state to state. Every state has their own way of wording and setting
uh-huh.
out in language. And oftentimes in states, you'll have to look at a combination of state statutes and health department regulations
mm-hmm.
to get the total story on what the right and the procedure for exercising that right is in that state.
Mm-hmm.
So North Carolina is at kind of those state laws that I've reviewed, North Carolina is kind of at one end of the spectrum in the sense that the whole right and procedure is in two sentences in one
mm-hmm.
section of a statute. There is a regulation in North Carolina that pertains to religious exemptions, but all it is a short statement saying that a philosophical belief doesn't qualify for the exemption.
Mm-hmm.
The way that I read the state statute, the religious exemption statute, it's perfectly plain on its face that it would require a religious belief and that a philosophical belief wouldn't qualify. So I'm not quite sure why they created that particular regulation. But in other states,
does one confirm the other? In other words, if they're saying that we're going to give you an exemption for a religious belief, and the other one says, on the other hand, we're not going to give you an exemption for a philosophical belief. So it counters one to the other. It says you can use this but not that.
Well, it presumably is there to add some clarification to the statute. But my point is that you don't need to read anything more than the two-sentence statute to see what your right is for a religious exemption in North
mm-hmm.
Carolina and how to exercise it.
Mm-hmm.
In other states, it's much more complicated. And I'll give just one quick example.
Okay.
It was Iowa, I think, that had a state statute that says that in order to qualify for religious exemption there, you have to be a member of an organized religion with tenets opposed to immunizations. Now, that raises a whole separate legal question that we've talked about previously.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the regulations, they actually have a form that the health department has created, and the form does not ask you what your religion is. So health departments may decide not to enforce the full scope of the statute, but they can't require something that isn't in the statute. Let's say the statute didn't make any reference to having to be a member of an organized religion. The health department cannot promulgate a regulation that says you have to be a member of an organized religion.
Which one says this now?
I believe it's Iowa that has this.
Uh-huh. So it says the health department cannot promulgate.
No, that's what I said.
Oh, say it. Can you repeat that last part?
I'm talking about a concept of law.
Uh-huh.
The statute says you have to be a member of an organized religion. The health department
uh-huh.
has the option of, apparently, of not enforcing that part of the statute.
That's their choice
as a policy matter.
Okay.
As a legal matter, they cannot require something that goes outside of the boundaries of the statute. In other words, state agencies are delegated authority by statute, by the state legislature. Anything they do providing additional details, procedural details, for example, in the case of religious exemptions or exemptions generally, procedural details about how to exercise exemption is often what happens at the state agency regulatory level. They cannot go outside of the boundaries of the statute. The state agency can't just make up law kind of randomly mm-hmm. about what they want to do on an issue. They have to stay within the bounds of authority of the state statute and okay. of the rights and responsibilities, the authority that's delegated to them by the state legislatures.
So they're more of, if we had concentric circles or whatever, the state is the outer layer, and then the health department or the agency that was given the authority to promulgate the more of the details of the how to what's going to happen, how it's going to affect whatever those boundaries are, is going to be within that outer circle. I'm just trying to look at a figurative imagery to make sense of it.
No, that's a real good idea. Thanks for bringing that up. The agency can provide details that are in scope the full size of the statutory circle, but not outside of the circle.
Mm-hmm.
The state agency has the option of drawing a smaller circle within the outer circle and operating within that smaller circle. They don't have to necessarily enforce mm-hmm. the entire statutory law as it's drafted.
Okay.
For example, Iowa, by the State Department of Health creating a form that doesn't require that you to say on the form what your religion is,
okay.
is apparently choosing not to enforce fully the statute that requires membership in an organized religion.
Mm-hmm.
They could do that if they wanted to, but they appear not to be doing it by virtue of the fact that they're not asking for that information on mm-hmm. their form for exercising a religious exemption.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's a really good visual. Thank you for that to help hopefully help listeners to understand better how that works.
Okay. All right. What would be the most smooth transition into something else that people need to know regarding their state statutes and the agencies or department that have been given the authority to create the details and enforcing whatever the law is within the boundary of the state? I think I'm kind of getting the idea now. I hope I am. What would be the next thing that we need to inform people of? Because it's kind of going into that thing about religion. I think we talked about whether you have to be part of an organized religion or whether you can just have your own personal religious philosophy. I don't know whether that is a pertinent thing to talk about at this point?
Well, we're in the same sense that the state agencies have to operate in terms of the rules or regulations, and here those two words are interchangeable, that they create, the state legislatures, when they're dealing with a religious exemption, they have to create that within U.S. constitutional boundaries.
Okay.
See, originally, the United States Constitution did not apply to state and local governments. It only applied to the federal government. And it wasn't until the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, at one point in our nation's history, interpreted the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment as requiring the fundamental rights within the Bill of Rights as applying and having application to state and local governments. Now, the Bill of Rights contains the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, and a portion of those 10 amendments are considered to be fundamental rights. That includes the First Amendment, free exercise of religion. That First Amendment right applies to state and local governments, but only because of the 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause and the U.S. Supreme Court's interpretation of that. Generally speaking, the Constitution only applies to governments and only primarily the federal government, and only a small section of that applies to state and local governments, but lucky for us, that includes the First Amendment. So when a state enacts a religious exemption law, upon its enactment, there are federal First Amendment rights that attach to that. So states need to fall within those boundaries. Now, of course, the immediate logical question from that is, well, what are the boundaries? There's nothing in the First Amendment that says anything about vaccines or religious objections to vaccines.
Okay.
And when we have constitutional provisions or statutes or regulations or whatever that are worded in such a way that it's not clear if or how they apply to other to specific circumstances and situations, we have to look to legal precedent. And so just a real quick review of what we've talked about before.
Okay.
There is legal precedent for vaccine religious exemptions. Most of it, as it pertains to the boundaries of that right, come out of federal district court cases in New York, which are only binding on the state of New York. They're not binding on the rest of the country. So technically speaking, the boundaries of our right to exercise a vaccine religious exemption are to a large extent for a majority of the country not determined or could be considered what's called unsettled law. That's sort of the legal technicality.
Mm-hmm.
There is a smattering of, a handful of cases around the country in state courts, and so to the extent that there are those cases on vaccine religious exemptions, the boundaries are defined in those states by those states' respective state legal precedent. But legal precedent in one state is not binding on any other state. So, again, what we have for most people in most states in terms of what are the boundaries, we have the boundaries for most of us in the United States are based on precedent, legal precedent that comes from other jurisdictions, state or federal courts that are not our own jurisdiction, and therefore the decisions are not really binding on us in our state.
Right.
And so technically there's a lot, the boundaries of our rights to religious exemptions and waivers are largely unsettled law for most people in most states or in most situations. Having said that, the body of precedent that is out there, and in particular the federal legal precedent, as a practical matter, is being followed by states around the country and would very likely be followed by other states as and if formal legal disputes come up in the courts. We can look to that legal precedent, even though it might be persuasive precedent for most of us. We can look to that precedent and have a real good idea of what the law would be if a case were to come up in our own state.
Okay, can you tell where would I find this in your ebook if I wanted to understand this concept a little bit more and regarding what is binding, whether it's binding in my state or based on legal precedent, whether we're just following along? I mean, that means that somebody could have an issue and change the precedent in their own state if something there was an issue, if they came across a conflict or something.
Well, the vaccine ebook, The Authoritative Guide to Vaccine Legal Exemptions, which is available on Homeopathy World Community.
Okay.
I believe there's a link right there on the homepage, if I'm not mistaken.
Is it yellow? I think it's a yellow box.
I believe so, on the right-hand side. In the ebook, there's the first main chapter provides some background on the law and talks about legal precedent generally. And then there's a section with several subsections on federal law. And in the last of the main subsections in that second chapter, which is on federal law, talks about the federal court system and federal legal precedent and explains what that is and how it applies in a little more detail, and then actually cites the federal court cases and opinions of the last few decades that have direct relevance to and have helped to define the boundaries of our legal right to refuse immunizations.
Mm.
And this federal legal precedent is about school exemption cases, but this precedent has application to virtually all of the different contexts in which vaccine refusal and exemptions and waivers come up. I mean, it has application to people in the military, people in immigration and foreign adoption, healthcare employees, and so forth. So it's really important legal precedent to become familiar with if you want to understand what the boundaries are. You know, does it matter whether or not you belong to an organized religion? Does it matter which one you belong to if you do? Does it matter if you've had vaccines in the past?
Mm-hmm.
What qualifies as a religious exemption? What doesn't and why? These kinds of questions are all answered to one degree or another in the legal precedent, and that's where we need to look to fully understand the boundaries of our rights. So to know what exemption your state has and what the procedure is, you look at the state statutes and health department regulations. Mm-hmm. To understand what the boundaries of your rights are, we need to look to the federal legal precedent, because that tells us where the First Amendment boundaries are for these rights, And the states, as a general rule, have to offer the right, when they offer it at all, have to offer it within the boundaries of the First Amendment. There was reportedly last fall a high school boy in West Virginia who was physically held down and forcefully administered a swine flu vaccine against his will. I certainly hope that that is an anomalous case, because I don't believe that states have the right to physically force vaccination on someone, although that may be an issue that is technically unsettled law. In other words, it hasn't yet come up in a state or federal court or gone up on appeal to a place where it would have a decision that could become legal precedent and thereby be a point of reference in the law to tell us what the law is there. But my understanding at this point is that really that the most that states can do is that if they feel like there's a necessity, they can quarantine people who are unvaccinated, or they can require, maybe be able to require unvaccinated children to stay home from school if there's a local outbreak.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things seem pretty clear. They're in laws all over the country. But I find it very disturbing that someone may have been actually forcibly vaccinated. I think that's something that we're not likely to see much of, that much more likely if the state feels the need to mandate a vaccine without an exemption, or a state like West Virginia that doesn't offer anything but medical exemptions. I think the recourse there, the proper legal recourse, is to prevent the child from coming to school, or if it's a local outbreak or epidemic, maybe impose quarantine. But I don't think there's really – I think they had a potential lawsuit there in response to that, and it would have been interesting to see how that would have played out, because I think that would very likely could have, or in my opinion should have, if there had been a lawsuit, the school should have been found to have exceeded their bounds there in doing that.
Okay. So the only thing that I want to say, because the time is up, is just to let people know about that website.
The NVIC.
NVIC, I'm sorry.
Vaccine Information Center. Yes, they have just created something they're calling the Advocacy Portal, which is essentially the internet infrastructure for legislative work in all 50 states on vaccine initiatives, both forwarding and promoting legislation to expand our rights, but also opposing legislation that would diminish our rights even further. And there is certainly activity going both ways in this arena. So if you go to nvic.org, right on their homepage, they'll have a link to the advocacy portal. And I encourage your listeners to go to that advocacy portal and sign up so that they can see what's going on in their own states. Now, the project is new. They're still getting directors for each of the states. Some of the states that have directors still don't have anything posted. It's a new project, but go ahead and get on board so that you're in a position to be informed about what's going on legislatively in your state, and in a position then to participate in an informed way to oppose or support legislation appropriately in this arena.
Okay. Our time is up, and I will see you next week. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Debbie.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Vaccinations and Your Rights in the U.S. with co-hosts Alan Phillips and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Radio. Remember to educate before you vaccinate.
Allow our souls to shine. Your truth be your truth.